let me just remind you, because a lot of you probably missed it in the beginning, there's all kinds of resources on our webpage. Forget the freedomhillchurch.churchonline.church thing. Forget that for now. But if you're there and it's working for you, there are links at the top. Otherwise, go to our webpage. You can see what Christina and her team put together for kids. Scroll through that. It's great and fun, and worship with your kids as well today. But I want to share with you something from a letter Paul wrote to Timothy. And many of you probably have heard before that Timothy was like a son to Paul, that Paul loved him dearly. They traveled and worked together, and Timothy was Paul's right-hand man. He was really a son, he calls him over and over again. And what I want to read us today are some of Paul's last words to Timothy. These are things that Paul wrote when his life had taken a dramatic turn. And he was practicing a forced social distancing called prison at the time he wrote this letter. And for someone whose entire life was about traveling around from place to place and meeting different people, it was incredibly torturous for Paul to be stuck in a prison. And not only that, for a lot of people, and for Paul, this could be incredibly embarrassing. To be thrown in jail is not something you're typically proud of. And people would not ever see him the same. And so this had a lot of potential shame built into it too, what he was going through. And the cherry on top of all that is that Paul didn't know whether he'd live on the other end of this imprisonment. As far as he knew, it was very likely that he would be killed. So all of that's going on in Paul's life. He is locked up. He can't go anywhere, isolated from everyone, doesn't know what's next in his life. There's shame involved in all of it. And he's writing to Timothy, some of his final words to Timothy. And Timothy's in a tough situation too. He's trying to lead a church as a young pastor, and there's a lot of people in that church who are causing trouble, and he's under fire from them, and he doesn't know what the future of the church is going to be or his future in ministry is going to be. There's just a whole lot of uncertainty going on. And Paul writes these words. They're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. You can open your Bible and follow along. If you're in the chat area, there's notes. You can click there and follow along. But this is what he says. He says, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you, fan into flame the gift that God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us afraid, but gives us power and love and self-control. So never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God saved us and called us to a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That's why I'm suffering here in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you." So I hope you can see the connection between Paul's situation and ours a little bit. Moments like this are filled with uncertainty and fear. And in moments like this, we might be tempted to forget who we are and what our lives are really about, and forget what it is we're becoming. This morning, God's word reminds us that he's already given us everything we need for moments like this. And I want to focus you on one verse. So Christina's going to put that up here, and I'm going to, There you go. Verse 7 says, "The Spirit God gave us does not make us afraid, but gives us power and love and self-control." Notice, Spirit is capitalized. You can keep it there, Christina. It's capitalized. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, God himself, the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit to recreate us, to make us new. And there are certain things that the Holy Spirit is building into us, and there are other things the Holy Spirit is not building into us. And one of the things that he's definitely not building into us is cowardice or terror, fear. Let's talk about that, that no fear, that first thing that he's not putting in us as he remakes us and reshapes us. We're not talking about the feeling of fear or the emotion of fear. That's not the word Paul uses here. He's talking about being gripped by fear, a fear that grips us, that paralyzes us. Really, he's talking about what we do with the fear we feel. So he's talking about cowardice, about running away. He's talking about, for instance, if you and one of your siblings get into trouble and you break something at home, like me and my brothers did all the time, you'd break a picture frame or something, and then you got to fess up, and you walk up with your brother to tell your parents, "Hey, you know, we broke the frame." And imagine doing that, and your brother all of a sudden isn't with you anymore. He ran away, so now you take the heat all by yourself. Or maybe even more painfully graphic is imagine being a soldier running into war with your friends, and then when you hear the bullets fly and all of that begins to happen, you turn around and run away and abandon them. That's the kind of cowardice Paul is talking about that runs away. And he's saying the Holy Spirit is transforming us and making us brand new. And one of the qualities he does not give us is that kind of terror and cowardice. And look, right now, there are a lot of things that you could feel fear about. You could feel fear about getting sick. You could feel fear about your job. You could feel fear about the future, about your kids' education. You could feel fear about repercussions months from now, right? There's all kinds of things that you could be afraid about. And feeling afraid isn't wrong or bad. Responding to it with cowardice or terror, where it grips you and controls you, that's what we don't need to do. Because the Holy Spirit is making us a new people. And the one thing he's not putting in us is that kind of fear, that kind of terror that grips us. That doesn't mean, let me just say real clearly, because some people have thought it might mean that, so we're not afraid, so we're just going to run out in the crowds, we're just going to keep getting together, we're going to just keep living the life we were living before and not be afraid of this thing. Well, actually, there's a different fear that's controlling you in that instance. The fear that's controlling you in that instance is the fear of having to give up the life you're used to for even a little while in order to accommodate others. The fear that is driving you in that instance is the worry about losing your illusion of control, right? So this doesn't mean, not having fear doesn't mean that we just forget about the guidelines that'll help keep us and, more importantly, other people safe and healthy. No, this fear means I'm willing to change my life. Well, let's talk about the things he gives us, because I think that'll help make this clear. He's not putting cowardice in us. Instead, he's putting power and love and self-control. Power, that first one. Timothy is not known for being a powerful person by nature. And Paul wanted him to know that that didn't matter, that the Holy Spirit was making him a new creation, and the power that the Holy Spirit was putting in him was a divine power from God. That's what he was supposed to lean on. So think about yourself. Are you a powerful person, or are you a more timid person? Do you know which it is? Do you know what the answer is to that question? The answer really is, it doesn't matter. You're a new creation. You're a new you, and this new you that's being shaped by the Holy Spirit is a person of divine power. I love something Oswald Chambers once wrote. Christina's going to put it up here, and I'm going to give it to you there. God can achieve his purpose either through the absence of human power and resources or the abandonment of reliance on them. All through history, God has chosen and used nobodies. because their unusual dependence on him made possible the unique display of his power and grace. He chose and used somebodies only when they renounced dependence on their natural abilities and resources. The best thing you and I can do with whatever power you think you have or don't have, especially if you think you have power, the best thing you can do is surrender it, put it aside, and let's all take on the power that comes from the Holy Spirit and who he's making us, this new creation he's making us to be. And to understand, okay, well, what does that mean? What is that power going to look like? We have to quickly go to the second thing he gives us. It's power and love. And for Paul, those two words always go together. They're like two sides of a coin, because power without love is dangerous, and love without power is impotent. So these two words always go together for Paul. And I mean, the best model, think about Jesus. How did Jesus show his love? With a power that goes beyond anything you and I can even imagine. He overcame and conquered death. That's how Jesus demonstrated love. Well, how did Jesus show his power? Well, with a love that you and I can't comprehend. He sacrificed himself for you and for me. It's unbelievable that he would suffer and die for us. Love and power go hand in hand. And so the power the Holy Spirit gives us is power to love. Love and power work together. This power is what is going to enable us to love people more truly and more deeply, to, in moments like this especially, see past the facade and see one another's hearts, because we have powerful love and loving power to see people's needs, looking past the situation and the moment we're in, and powerfully loving those who are around us. Just watch Jesus. Look at him. By reading what he did, reading what he said, you will have a template, a model for what powerful love and loving power does. Powerful love doesn't serve itself. It serves God's plan, and it serves others, works for the good of others. And it would be very easy in a moment like this for all of us to go into survival mode and want to just take care of ourselves and forget that the Holy Spirit is making us into someone different. He's making us into people who don't have to run into survival mode because we're afraid, but who instead can be people of powerful love. And in moments like this, what might that look like? Well, one, it's going to look like respecting the need for keeping personal distance from each other. That's why we're doing this from our kitchen this morning, so that we didn't bring anybody together to do this face-to-face. Instead, we're all together virtually, but we're together, right? So one way you can be powerfully loving is respect that and be careful with that for the sake of others. Second way is, look, sacrifice to serve the needs of others. We put out word this week, and again, if you're on the chat room, you can see the link there. If you go to our website after this, you can see it there, a link for helping or asking for help. If you need help because you can't go out and shop for groceries or things, sign up there. If you want to help, and I think so many of you did, but if others of you want to help provide that for anyone who might need it, sign up there. That's one way we can serve each other, right? To carefully go and shop and then just drop it off for someone and just serve their needs. That's how we can use our power. Three, don't let distancing get in the way of connecting and caring. Don't just sit home and watch Netflix. Call each other, FaceTime each other, whatever you got to do to see each other face to face. Use Zoom. We're using Zoom for a lot of stuff at the church, and you can do all kinds of fun stuff through Zoom. Find ways to connect and care for the people around you. Not just the people you know, but even like neighbors who maybe you haven't talked to that much. Give them a call. Connect with them. Make sure they're doing okay. And then remember, like for Timothy, this idea of loving other people was really difficult, because the people he had to love were really difficult people. And I always, one of the first things I think of is, especially with all the toilet paper flying off the shelves, is the episode of Seinfeld where Elaine's in the bathroom and needs some toilet paper, and the lady next to her refuses to spare a square because she thinks, I don't have enough. And then later on, she figures out who that lady is, and when she sees her going to the bathroom some other day, Elaine runs in, takes all the toilet paper out, and when that lady asks for some, she says, sorry, I can't spare a square. There's a whole lot of people out there who are living that I can't spare a square mentality, right? Let's not be that way. Let's be generous, caring people for those who are around us, and recognize, you know, some of the people around us might be difficult to love. Maybe they'll be acting in that I can't spare a square way. God calls on us to have powerful love. Some of you are stuck at home with your family, and maybe things are getting a little tense, right? Christina's shaking her head yes over here. I don't know why. But maybe things get a little rough and the kids are fighting all the time. Well, this is a moment to pray and lean on God's Holy Spirit for power to love. That's what we're leaning on. Third thing he gives us, real quick. He gives us self-control. It's this new way of thinking. You could also translate this word level-headedness or a disciplined mind. God knows this world needs people who have level-headedness, disciplined minds, not just because we have common sense, but because the Holy Spirit is shaping us into the kinds of people who think the way God thinks, who see and think with God's perspective. And so some of us right now, you know, wherever you come from, right? We're all different. Some of you are very emotional. Some of you are hardly emotional at all. Some of you are very extroverted. Some of you are very introverted. Some are in between. Some of you are intuitive. Some of you are sensing. Some of you are nines. Some of you are fours, you know, whatever Enneagram or Enneagram, however you want to say it, number you are, whatever Myers-Briggs personality type you are, all that stuff, that does not determine or control the way you and I think and respond, right? It's there and it's real, but deeper than all of that now, in those who follow Christ, deeper than all of that is what the Holy Spirit is building in us, which is a way of thinking, a level-headedness, a mind that is guided and shaped by God. That's how he's remaking us. That's what he's making us to be. That's an incredible gift God has given us, to see things from his perspective, his eternal perspective, when everyone else is looking for just the next day perspective, what's going to happen tomorrow, or the next week, or the next few months perspective. God's given us and is giving us and is building into you the ability to see far beyond all of that and tap into a peace that comes from knowing that Jesus has already won the victory and everything beyond all of this, and we can trust him. That will help us maintain calm, level-headed, self-controlled minds, sound minds, is the way a lot of people talk about it. As you and I become these new people the Holy Spirit's making us, we can reach beyond all of these things that might, fear that might shape us, or our typical places we go to when we're stressed, right? All that stuff is real, but that can get pushed to the side. And something deeper can take over, this new person God's making us to be. But there's something you and I have to do for this to happen. There's a part we play. Listen to what, again, Paul said in verse 6 here. He says, "This is why I remind you, fan into flames the gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Fan into flame this gift of God, this calling that he's put on every one of us to follow him." I remember, I don't know how many of you get chances to build fires. Every summer I get to build tons of fires up in Maine. And last year I was making fires to burn a bunch of brush that I was cutting down. And I remember getting up in the morning early, cutting it all down, lighting the fire, getting it really hot, putting all the stuff in. And then around noontime, went in and ate some lunch, took a little siesta for an hour or two, and then came back and, you know, the fire pit is all gray and looks like the fire's gone. But all I had to do was just blow a little bit on those ashes, and they go from gray to red. Then they begin to turn a little yellow and then orange and leap up into flames after a while. And it just takes a little bit. You got to just blow on that fire. You got to feed that fire. And pretty soon it starts to kindle again and burn again. And this moment right now is an opportunity for you and I to fan into flame what God has planted inside of us. Maybe you've grown cold. Maybe your heart and soul is looking more ashy gray, right? Because it's been a while since you've fed that fire of what God's building inside of you. And this right here is a moment for you to stop and say, here's a great chance for me to ask God to just blow some wind into me and give me this new life. The great thing about our God is that the moment you ask him, please rekindle this fire in me, he will begin to just blow into your life and bring that new life again by his Holy Spirit, even over an internet connection that didn't even work when we started this whole thing. Remember, fires need fuel. So fuel that fire this during this time when you're home with your families, with your kids. If you're alone, call somebody, FaceTime them. The great thing is, one of the wonderful gifts that helps kindle this fire is solitude, just being with God. So use this time to be with God, but also prayer and worship, sing some songs, pull up YouTube and sing along, calling one another and encouraging each other and praying with one another, that kindles the fire. Reading God's word kindles the fire. Fasting kindles the fire. Feed this fire. There's so many different ways you can do it. Feed this fire and let it begin to take over and push aside the fear and the panic and the cowardice that might take hold, the survival thing that might take hold, and let yourself instead begin to grow in the power and the love and the sound mind, because those are the things God's given us. Let me pray for you all. Lord, I pray for our church family and anyone else who's watching this right now, that, Lord, you would give us power and love and self-control, a sound mind, Lord, to be able to, in this moment, be who you've called us to be, to shine for you, to not be ashamed, Lord, that we trust you and have put our hope in you. God, I pray that everyone in our church family would do that, that your people around the world would do that. And Lord Jesus, I pray for anyone who's sick or hurting right now, that you would bring healing. For all the leaders in our nation, and the Lord, especially for the doctors and nurses and hospital workers, Lord, everyone who's working so hard and putting themselves at risk even for the sake of those who are sick, Lord, I pray you would bless them. I pray you'd give them strength and give them the rest that they need and the supplies that they need. Lord, for everyone who's rising up to serve the needs here around our world, Lord, give us all strength, and I pray that your love would shine through us, your people. God, do that in us, we pray, in your name. Amen. Amen. Look, I know that there's a whole bunch going on, and I know this didn't work flawlessly, but if you're on the chat room or if you're in our website or wherever you are right now, before you go today and log off, take a moment to give. Remember, giving isn't about, you know, supporting an online stream or anything like that. It's about everything I have is from God. And so I give as an expression of worship. So please remember to do that. We're trying to do all we can to cut down any expenses at the church. We've shutting the heat really low and all that stuff. But please remember to give. And you can do that through our website. Just click the give button. You can do it if you're in that chat room. Click the give link there. You can do it through the app. You can also, someone came by this week and just dropped off a check, right? You can do that too. Just drop it in the mailbox in an envelope, and we'll get it. So just make sure you do that. And then don't forget, go visit our website, sign up to help or to get help. Sign up if you want to be part of just getting calls. I've got the deacons calling people to just make sure everybody's doing all right. But if you want to get on that list, right now the only people on that list are those who've gone through our membership process. So a lot of you haven't necessarily done that. So just go to our website, click that, you know, connect link, and we'll put you on that list and make sure we're staying connected. And if you want to learn about becoming a member, we have the class April 1st. Go to our website, click the link there at the bottom for that, and you can sign up for that. We'll do it through Zoom. And don't forget the kids stuff. Christina, they did a great job. And so there's videos and a whole lesson there ready to go, families with kids. So go and do that together, and do me a favor, take pictures of you worshiping that way and send it. You can send it to office@freedomhill.church. Christina's going to put that up here. She missed the cue. Oh my goodness. So office@freedomhill.church, and, email it to us, pictures of, you know, or put it on our Facebook group. So we can see each other worshiping. And, next week, this will run completely smooth, and hopefully soon we'll be back together face to face. If you need anything, get in touch with us. We love you, church. We're praying for you. God bless.